Welcome to Renewed by the Word with Pastor Edwin from Redeemer Church, Miami. We are glad you can join us today. Please grab your Bibles as we walk through the Word of God together this morning.
Our third point, very briefly, I entitled it Reality. There is a pause in the middle of these just 14 verses that takes us into the deep theological waters. It's a beautiful thing that we can't just skip over. I don't want to gloss over. I know it's a rainy day. You might be at home on your sofa. We're in here freezing because it's cold in the church, right? But nonetheless, I spruce up for a second, drink that coffee or eat that donut, right? Because for this point, I want you to see how deep Jeremiah takes us into the theology of God, how beautiful it is with some of the themes that we've already mentioned along the way. Notice what he says here, and we'll start off with this one. He says, look at verse 9. I think we'll put it for you up on the screen so you can see it at home. I will summon all the peoples of the north. In other words, God in charge of all these people. And then he says, and my servant Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, declares, wait a second. Did God just say, my servant Nebuchadnezzar? In other words, Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon are on the scene now. They're on the historical scene. They've already defeated Egypt, and this is now history. This is not something that some university professor or one of your unbelieving friends can argue about. This is in history. This is time. The year is 605. Nebuchadnezzar is in charge of Babylon. His first year, he attacks Judah, and he pushes back Egypt. Egypt would never recover. They would never become a world power again to this day from that moment because he squashed them so bad. Okay? They had their moments throughout history, but never a power like this. And now Nebuchadnezzar, God is saying, he's my servant. What is God talking about? Very simple. Notice how sovereign, remember that word from a couple of weeks ago, God's sovereignty, his control over everything, his lordship over everything, his authority over everything, his rule over everything. Look at how it works. He has his own people who are to be a blessing to the nations, and their spiritual stage is in destruction. So on the world stage, God uses Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon as his hammer. He pulls it out of his toolbox in order to right the spiritual stage of Israel. So you go from a spiritual stage of damage down to the world stage of Babylon and Israel, and then up to the spiritual stage again, because they will return and they will be a different people. That's how God works. Now Nebuchadnezzar, he picks him not because he's some nice guy. He doesn't pick Babylon because they're a bunch of good people. No. They are but instruments in the hands of God. Listen, Nebuchadnezzar, he had armies, he had power, he had strength, he had resources, he had economy, he had all these things. But in the end, all of them governed by God. So let me just speak into this past week in our country for 2 seconds. For those of you who are worried or concerned, for those of you who maybe feel kind of good about maybe what happened, but you're also worried about what the future looks like, whether it's the old president or the new one, whether it's old representatives or new ones, it does not matter. They are all governed by God. They fall under his rule, his authority, and his reign. It doesn't matter what they think. It doesn't matter what they want. It doesn't matter maybe what kind of agenda they have or not. It will be God who determines. It will be God who acts. It will be God who moves people on and off of the world stage. Now, here's the danger, and here's where we, and I always encourage you, share Christ. Share Christ. God let Israel feel the consequences of her rebellion and disobedience of the Lord, of pushing him out of her life. What did we just read a few moments ago? This harm has come to you because of your actions. It's there in the text. So is there an element here where our country will suffer some self-inflicted wounds? Absolutely. Absolutely. Is there a sense, and let's talk about exile in 40 years, is there a sense where our country is in the midst of a wilderness wandering? I think so. I think you probably would agree with me that it started years ago. I'm a big history buff and paying more attention to politics now. I kind of ignored it for a while because it was so I don't know if you felt that way, like having too much chocolate kind of thing. But then I kind of had to get back into it to deal with stuff like this. And church, our country has been wandering around for about 20 years now. And I think we would all agree on that. The farther we've gotten from God, the more our minds and hearts and souls as a country, as a nation, have gotten away from God. And so we find ourselves wandering. Now, And I'll fight any of you on this one. Has God given up on this country? No. Has God turned his back on this country? Absolutely not. In fact, I think he's waiting to bring it back. How do I know that? Well, because there's a lot of gospel being preached. There's a lot of people being baptized around the nation. There's a lot of new churches rising up and the gospel being preached in different shapes and forms. And there's a lot of change, a lot of heart change in people. So that tells me that his spirit is still at work, that his eyes are still on us. But now it falls upon us as the church and as the Christian community to rise up and give Jesus to someone else. To continue. We've talked so much about these last couple of weeks as the election came forward about the soul of our nation. Forget about that political nonsense. The soul of our nation is, does she know Christ or does she not? And that responsibility falls on us. So if we want to end the wandering, and if we truly want to rescue, and I put this in quotes, rescue the soul, let's put this in quotes, of our nation, then we got to give our nation Jesus. Because a politician's not going to fix it. An agenda's not going to fix it. Amendments to something is not going to fix it. Laws are not going to fix it. Jesus will fix it. A coming back to the Lord will fix it. And let me circle back to what I said a moment ago. God is not done with us. God has not turned his back on us. Know that. And I believe what I'm saying to you with every fiber of my being, that he is not done with us yet. But he wants his people, Jeremiah's and Uriah's and Zephaniah's and Habakkuk's, to raise their voices in the darkest of moments and share this very simple message. Love the Lord. Allow your love for the Lord to dictate your actions and allow your actions to be godly. It's three steps, not that complicated. So if you came this morning looking for some political healing, well, there it is. There it is, in just minute form. We'll preach the series in a couple of weeks or in a month or two when things are better, but there it is. And I believe with every single fiber of my being that God wants to bring us back from the wilderness. Here is the sad part of this text, Lord, and church, and we begin to finish. The Lord here shows us what ultimate judgment looks like. It's a window. It's a window for us to look and see how serious God is about eternity, with him or without him. Notice what the text says. Streets will be empty. There will be no talking and celebrating of bride and bridegrooms. There will be no millstone. In other words, you won't be grinding stuff in the bakery to make bread. There'll be no joy on the streets. It'll be empty. In other words, church, what the text is trying to say, let me translate it into modern language, because you hear this phrase a lot out there. There are no rock stars in hell. None. Not one. It is a place that is void of the presence of God. It's a place that is void of the word of God. It's a place that is void of the worship of God. And it's empty and it's desolate and it's destroyed. So this text, what happens to Israel, is a picture to the larger destruction for those who would not obey, for those who would rebel to the very end. This is a destiny that awaits them. But I say to you, let God decide. You preach the gospel. You preach Jesus for those 23 years. Let's put that in quotes. For those 23 years, and you will see fruit like the fruit that we saw from the life of Charles Mack. And now we finish, church. Look how pretty this is. It says, I will bring on the land all things I have spoken against it, all that are written in this book. And he would punish Babylon. So let me do this for you at home. For those of you who will hear this for the first time, a couple of weeks ago, I kind of held my hand out straight. And I talked about how God is unchanging. We talked about the sovereignty of God, about how he's moving all these things on the world stage. Now we'll talk about how he's unchanging, right? So I hold my hand out this way. And what I told you weeks ago was God is unchanging in the way that he deals with sin. And you see it here with Israel, his very own people, the people he rescued from Egypt, the people that he won victories for, the people that he gave kings to. This was the love of his life. And because they rebelled and they disobeyed and they sinned, he kicked them off the land. God is unchanging in how he deals with sin. Guess what? He will destroy Babylon and Nebuchadnezzar. Why? Because they rejected him. They rejected the true God. They did their own actions. They did evil things with their hands. God's unchanging. He judged them. Now you flip it over to the other side. Guess what happens? He brings Israel back home. And this number 70, which I wanted you to see, it's the first time we see it in Scripture, the number 70. 70 years you're going to be gone. God was saying, basically, it's your lifetime. When you go over the hill, you're never going to see your house again. You're never going to see your family or friends again because you'll be separated for way too long. It was the children and the grandchildren who would come back. But guess what? It ended up being about 66 years. Because God in his mercy will always welcome those who return to him. Listen to the words of Jesus and then to the Psalms. Jesus in Matthew 24 says this. He's talking about the end times. If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. Jesus himself saying, hey, listen, we're all living in the end times. It's not that they're coming, it's that they're here. We've been living in them since the Holy Spirit was poured out in Pentecost. And he's saying the days that we're living are being shortened so that we will survive them. Look at what Psalm says, Psalm 106. But they were bent on rebellion and they wasted away in their sin. Yet he took note of their distress when he heard their cry. For their sake, he remembered his covenant, and out of his great love, he relented. He caused all who held them captive to show them mercy. So God, on one side, never changes his view of sin, never changes the punishment for sin. On the other side, his mercy never changes. His mercy is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it says here how beautiful. It says that everything that is written in this book, prophesied by Jeremiah, Israel was not known for her architecture. She never was known for her trade products. She was never known for her for big industries. She was not known for clothing. She was not known for language. She was known because they were people of the book. When they returned, they would love God's word, what we call the Old Testament, with all their heart, mind, and soul. God lost a little bit in that because they couldn't see Jesus, but they became a people of the book. And what do people of the book look like? Let me show you this text that we are going to show for you, that we have Jeremiah chapter 24, verses 5 through 7. Listen to these words, church, how beautiful they are. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Like these good figs, in chapter 24, Jeremiah has shown two fruit baskets. One is good fruit, one is bad fruit. Good figs, bad figs. He says, like these good figs, I regard as good the exiles from Judah, whom I sent away from this place to the land of the Babylonians. Ah, so the people he's sending away, he's actually saving them from the judgment that is coming. There is salvation in what God is doing in the midst of the darkest of moments. My eyes will watch over them for their good, and I will bring them back to this land. I will build them up and not tear them down. I will plant them and not uproot them. I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord. They will be my people, and I will be their God, for they will return to me with all of their heart. Oh, listen to that. Listen to that good news. God rescuing these people by removing them from a land that was about to face judgment. God rescuing you and me in Christ, removing us from a place where there will be judgment to build us up. So what is Babylon, church? Babylon, very simple. When you go home today and you see a potted plant in your backyard, that's Babylon. Remember that Jeremiah started by talking about God as the potter. The potter is making a new pot. The potter is shaping a new pot. He uprooted the plant from over here, from a bad land, and he put it in a pot for 70 years. He was going to fix and remold, and he's creating this new pot with new dirt so that the plant would restore itself, be redeemed, be fixed. And then what's he going to do? He's going to bring that plant back when the land is ready. He's going to plant it and it's going to give fruit. I don't know what you're going through this morning. Whether there is sickness in the family, trouble in the family, anxiety with work, whatever it might be. Maybe you're just anxious about what's going on in our nation. Whatever it might be. Note this. It's for a season. It's for a moment. The 40 years, the 70 years, it's for a moment. God ends it in his mercy and in his time. So if you're going through a difficult moment, know today that the text is telling us, the text is telling you, God will bring that season to an end. God will bring it to a halt in his mercy and in his grace. So if you're in the thick of it, if you're going through the difficult moment right now, know this, it's a season. It's a moment. And God will walk you to the other side of that valley, and God will deliver, and God will heal. Always a time limit. And then when he brings you back, he's been watching over you. He's going to build you up. He is going to plant. He's going to give you a new heart that you would return to Him. Church, this morning, let's be a people of the book. Let's be a people of the book in this city. Let's be a people of the book in this nation. Have the Word of God on your tongue. Know some of the Bible by memory. You know, share it with your friends. Give it to them to truly rescue the soul of the nation, to truly bring restoration and healing. Let's be a people of the book, that this place would be a place of the book. Hey, listen, let's put it into perspective here for the years. This church began over in the cafeteria building in 59, over in the cafeteria. The Word of God preached, praises sung to Him. Center building, mid-60s, that little chapel that we use for the kids, that was church. That was church. Jesus preached, Jesus worshiped. People walking along this property and these halls, people of the book. And then they built this room that we're in, that we enjoy on Sundays, that some of you kind of beam in and join us that way for the moment. This building has been here for 48 years. Jesus being preached, worship being sung, drama presenting Jesus, little children singing out to Jesus, a place of the book, an entire piece of land, a piece of property in the center of our city dedicated to the book. So I encourage you, let's be a people of the book. Let's be a people of God's word. Let's be a people of worship. Let's be a people who truly do not give up, whether it's 23, 33, or 43 years, but that we preach Jesus no matter what. That the pain leads us to preach, that the rejection leads us to preach evermore, that we might truly rescue people's souls. Bring change to our city. Bring change to our nation. These exiles came back because God was watching them. These exiles came back because God did not forget about them. These exiles came back because God restored them and reset them and redeemed them and brought them back home. I believe that God is going to bring us back home as a country. I believe it. He's going to bring us back as a country. But more beautifully and more powerfully, He's going to bring all of us one day back home to be with Him forevermore. And that is a great promise of the gospel. The suffering and the tears are but for a moment, right? 70 years in exile, a wilderness wandering here. But forever is coming, and forever will be different, and it will be spent in the presence of God with His word and with His worship forevermore. And this morning, we must praise God for that. We must thank God for that, even in the midst of the turmoil that we find ourselves in. We will praise God. We will depend on God. We will know that He is sovereign and He is in control, and we will not doubt that. We will look to the Lord and not to politicians. We will look to the Lord and not to laws. We will look to the Lord and not to politics. We will look to the Lord because He is the one who will heal our land. So church, be strong. Take heart. And take courage. Give Jesus to someone that true change might begin. And as true change begins in the individual, eventually it changes a city. Eventually it changes a nation. I know it and I believe it with every fiber of my being. And I want to share that with you this morning out of Jeremiah chapter 25. Let's bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You that we can pause in the midst of the turmoil in our nation and praise You because You are unchanging. You are unmoved. You truly are our rock and our refuge, stronghold in the time of trouble. Thank You that You are over all. All is under Your control. And I pray, God, that You would use us to bring true change to our nation, one person at a time. Pray, Lord, that if anyone is struggling in this moment, whether it's health or problems in the family or problems with work or worries, Lord, that they would know this morning that it's but for a season. And in Your mercy, You will cut it short and You will bring restoration again. So, Father, we rest on that promise. We rest on that reality of what this text teaches us today. So, Lord, thank You. Thank You for Jesus who makes this possible. We love You. We will praise His name forevermore. Make us a people of the book. Make this church a church of the book, that we might continue to shine Your light and Your gospel to this community and to this city. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. and amen.
Thank you for joining us today on Renewed by the Word. Our desire and hope is that your time in the Word with Pastor Edwin will continue God's renewal in your entire person and life. For more information about Redeemer Church Miami and Pastor Edwin, visit their website, RedeemerChurchMiami.org. That's RedeemerChurchMiami.org. May God bless you richly, and we look forward to being with you next week.